Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast. This is your host, Jason Staples. As always, before we get started, just a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples, and you can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes, your podcast manager choice. I was just informed, though, that we are not on Stitcher. This podcast is not on Stitcher, so I'm going to go ahead and try to get that taken care of soon. I'm also going to be working on some back-end stuff, some of the boring stuff in terms of how this podcast is distributed to make that as easy as possible. And also, don't forget that you can listen to this podcast on Seminole Sports Radio through vSporto and listen on your mobile devices via the Seminole Sports Radio app, available on iTunes or the Android Marketplace. Well, this is the game that we all look forward to coming into the season. This is the big one. This is the one that the national media was talking about as having passed the Alabama-LSU game for the nation's top rivalry, the most meaningful game in the regular season. Unfortunately, Florida State didn't hold its own water coming into this game, so it means a lot less than it could have. It's actually, I mean, if you think about it, it's a missed field goal away from, or a made field goal, depending on how you look at it, a made field goal away from being almost a play-in game to get a chance to get into the playoff, but Florida State blew that game at the end against North Carolina. Actually, didn't just blow it at the end, blew it in the first half on offense as well, but blew that game against North Carolina. So this game means a lot less than it could, but it's still a huge, huge game. Arguably, you could make the case that this game has, if not the most talent on the field of any two teams between the two of them, of any game this season, probably the second most talent on the field in terms of guys that are going to end up playing at the next level. Probably Alabama LSU I'd put maybe just a little bit ahead, but this game is going to be pretty close to that. And just as a brief overview, you know, Florida State is an underdog for a good reason in this game. I think any rational look, any objective look at the advanced stats or even the raw stats shows that Florida State's going to have a bit of an uphill battle in this game, even though it is at home in Tallahassee. Both teams have been inconsistent on the year. Florida State more so. And if you look at those advanced stats, Clemson has some pretty big advantages, and Florida State's advantages are fewer and generally smaller. So this is a game where, again, Clemson belongs as the favorite here. If I remember right, the line opened at -3. It's gotten up to about -5, so more money's been coming in on Clemson on that, as you would expect with that small of a line. That said, you know, I have looked at this a little bit closer as the week has gone on, and I can definitely see why that line opened up as small as it did, as short as it did. Partly because of the inconsistency that both of those teams have displayed on the year, but also because of how Clemson has struggled in certain cases and against whom. So what have the nature of the two teams' struggles been on the year? And how do those struggles play into this game is something that I sort of have spent some time thinking about. And one of the things that sticks out is that Clemson has struggled to run the football against better defenses. And as a result of that, has had some issues in terms of maintaining balance and has not been able to throw the ball in those games as well as they'd like because they've been throwing it because they have to, not because they want to. And then one person in the FSU program also mentioned to me this week, Clemson's also struggled some this year defensively against teams that can run the football, which is, frankly, a little bit surprising given the quality of their defensive line. But when I went back and I looked at it, he's right. So that actually is interesting because those are two things that I think Florida State can do pretty well coming into this game is limit the running game because the defensive line is playing better than they have. The linebackers are stepping into gaps a little quicker, and they've been able to get some flow on the defensive front to be able to stop the run better. And Florida State can certainly run the football. They've had trouble pass protecting, but they've certainly been able to run block and run the football, particularly since making the change to Brock Rubel at right tackle and getting healthy up front on the offensive line. They've been able to run the football this year. So those are two things that Florida State can do well, and they happen to be two things that Clemson has struggled a little bit against this year. So even though the advanced stats and lots of things sort of objectively you look at and you go, well, looking at it as a whole, Clemson really should win this game. FSU happens to match up well in a couple key areas. They're not winning a lot of matchups here in terms of some of these things, but they match up in a couple of these key areas that may be really important and may signal that FSU can keep this game closer, maybe even win this game than in a way that people might not expect. The other aspect to this, again, gets back to the inconsistency of these two teams. And really, which team shows up on each side? So, I mean, are we going to get the good Florida State that played, say, the first half against USF, most of the second half against North Carolina, the second half against Ole Miss? Can't get that team exactly because Derwin James isn't back. But which team shows up? And what happens if both good teams show up? If good Clemson shows up? Because the Clemson team that very nearly lost to NC State probably loses to Florida State. But what happens if the Clemson that played the first half of the Louisville game shows up? What happens if the Clemson from the first half of the Louisville game shows up against the Florida State of, say, the second half of the Ole Miss game shows up? That's where there's a lot of variance in this game, and it's certainly not a game that I would put any money on, because I think there is a lot more uncertainty in terms of what to expect from these two teams than you normally get from good teams this late in the year, particularly on the Clemson side, from a team that has a quality quarterback. You don't expect this level of variance from that kind of team and that kind of veteran team. I got to say, I've been pretty surprised by how much trouble they've had offensively this year. I thought coming into the year, this Clemson offense might be challenging the 2013 Florida State offense for the title of most points scored and, you know, most prolific offense in recent college football history. But they've been nowhere near that, despite having Deshaun Watson and Mike Williams back and an offensive line returning basically everybody and, you know, running backs and skill talent all returning. They've just not been able to put it together. Now, of course, they could put it all together, and then if they do that, they could blow the doors off Florida State. But once again, as we get into look a little bit more with a little bit more detail in this segment here at the Clemson offense, as we look at the Clemson offense, we see that, quite frankly, they have struggled to run the football on the year. Looking at their rushing numbers by game, they put up 3.43 yards per carry on 44 carries against Auburn. And that's a game where they ran Deshaun Watson. That's a game where they ran Deshaun Watson and were not able to really get a whole lot of traction in the running game in that game. And they weren't able to throw the ball like they wanted to, partly because Watson just was a little off, and partly because they were in a lot of longer yardage situations where Auburn was able to tee off and was able to cover in ways that they needed to. So you look at that game, they had 3.43 yards per carry against Auburn, 3.81 against Troy. I'm going to skip South Carolina State, it's irrelevant. Only 4.06 yards per carry against Georgia Tech. And that's not a really good Georgia Tech defense. Now, granted, that's a game where they didn't run Deshaun Watson much, and it has seemed like they've got a big game offense where they run Watson and a regular offense where they don't, where they're trying to protect him, and that makes a lot of sense. I would do that. Then they ran for 6.48 yards per carry against Louisville on 31 carries, 200 rushing yards. That's the one game where they really, against a decent defense, against a quality defense, were able to put up a good per carry number. 6.48 yards per carry against Louisville, and that's the best their offense has looked on the year. Then 6.57 yards per carry against Boston College. That's a toothless Boston College team. And then 3.0 yards per carry on 39 carries against NC State. And that's, again, a game where, especially late, they had to run Deshaun Watson some and still really didn't get a ton of traction there. Now, part of that, I think, against NC State was due to Wayne Gallman getting knocked out of that game in the first quarter. And, you know, Gallman is a big, big part of their running game. But a lot of this boils down to Clemson's offensive line has not been what it was expected to be coming into this year. Their offensive line was expected to really take another step forward and turn into a top 5 or 10 unit in the country. And they might be a top 10 unit or whatever, but they've certainly not been dominant, and they've struggled to run the football all year. They've struggled to open lanes for Wayne Gallman all year. And for Florida State to win this game, that is, I think, the number one key defensively, aside from just not blowing a bunch of coverages and giving up big plays, which, you know, that presumably you have to think or hope, if you're a Florida State fan, you have to think that that's a thing of pre-North Carolina game stuff. I mean, they didn't have any bust. They haven't had a whole lot of busts since then. But aside from not having just a bunch of assignment busts, the real imperative for Florida State's defense is that Florida State win on first down. And that means particularly limiting Wayne Gallman's effectiveness. They need to hold Wayne Gallman under 4 yards a carry. It's imperative that Clemson cannot just run the football on first down. So they've got to stop. They've got to limit Wayne Gallman while setting the edge against Clemson's legs, or against Watson's legs. Thing is, they were able to do that to a large extent last year, at least through three quarters. Now, Gallman ended up averaging about 4.68 yards per carry last year through the whole game, and that's partly because Watson's legs got involved in the fourth quarter. They were able to Clemson was able to change the dynamic a little bit late in last year's game. But if you look at the way that Clemson's rushing offense has looked this year, there's reason to think that Florida State has a shot to continue to give them some difficulty in that running game, particularly since FSU has been a lot better in that defensive interior with Derek Nnadi getting healthier, Josh Sweat starting to step up his game. Florida State is a much more formidable defensive front than what they have been, and certainly what they were last year, because of some of those guys getting healthy, starting to give more effort, some of those other things. Now, like I said, it's imperative that FSU win on first down, limiting Gallman. And, you know, ideally, if they can make Watson be the guy that has to run on first down, that's fine. Watson, really where Watson is, and mobile quarterbacks in general, are much more dangerous as a runner is on third down. Particularly if it's third and short, you're in trouble. But it's critical for Florida State to get Clemson into second and third and longer situations. And if Watson's going to make a conversion, make him run further for those conversions on third down. This, by the way, is something else that a lot of people sort of don't think about in terms of running quarterbacks. And it's one of those things that you have to really pay attention to, some things that you might not naturally look for. And specifically, that's that running quarterbacks, look at the accuracy of a running quarterback or a quarterback who runs frequently. What is his accuracy immediately after a run or a play where he has to do a lot of running and is potentially out of breath? That's something that when I was scouting Marcus Mariota a couple of years ago, and I was breaking him down pre-Rose Bowl before the Florida State-Oregon match, one of the things that I noticed was Mariota was much more accurate on plays that were not immediately following a play where he had to run. And my speculation is, if, for those of you out there who didn't play quarterback but maybe played basketball, you probably shot better from the free throw line under totally controlled conditions. But if you ran a bunch of sprints and then had to shoot free throws and your heart rate's up and everything like that, you're less accurate. You don't shoot as high a percentage from the free throw line. Same thing in terms of golf. You may be a good putter, but then all of a sudden pressure gets on or something happens and your heart rate gets up and you're not quite as accurate as when things are completely calm, or say you're on the practice green. It's the same sort of thing that quarterbacks have to deal with as well. If you get a guy that's running out of the pocket a bunch and he's potentially getting a little bit winded and his heart rate's up and all of those things, particularly because of those runs, it can affect his accuracy. And it does generally affect these guys' accuracy. And I think that's one of the things that you actually do notice a little bit with Watson at times as well, is he starts to get tired, and then you see him get a little bit sloppy with his mechanics, and then he'll throw a ball in the dirt, or he'll overthrow, or the location will be a miss in the strike zone, and he's just not quite as precise when he's been running. So that's one of those things where if you can force him to actually scramble or have to use his legs on first down, and you know, maybe he gets 4 or 5 yards on first down, but it's not Gallman that's doing it, that's still a little bit of a win for the defense, because he may not be quite as accurate on second down or third down as if he's just able to let Gallman run it for 3 or 4 yards. In any case, Clemson runs a really similar system to what Ole Miss runs. They both run spreads that are based on power inside running game, you know, more gap blocking type stuff. And, you know, ultimately Ole Miss was able to force Florida State into some really bad stuff early. But when Florida State simplified in the second half and decided to press those receivers and really challenge that Ole Miss team, FSU was able to shut Ole Miss down. Now, some of that was because of some coaching decisions that Ole Miss made. They stopped running the football. It obviously helped that Derwin James was on the field, particularly in some of the open field tackles he made in the second half that got that Ole Miss offense off the field. And that's part of why I think Derwin is probably worth double-digit points for this Florida State team, is he probably makes 2 or 3 plays per game that get an opposing offense off the field. And the way that this defense has gone, if they don't get a 3 and out, they've been giving up points. Well, if that's the case, then he may be worth double digits to this defense. So, that's that, but you know, without Derwin out there, that's going to be more difficult. But Florida State has, since that Ole Miss game, gotten better up front, particularly inside, with Naughty getting healthy and Sweat continuing to improve. So to me, you got to play a similar kind of approach to what they did against Ole Miss, and it's a very similar approach to what they played against Clemson last year, and that's press and play physical on the outside. That reduces how much Clemson can generally rely on their screen game. If you have to, you hold a little bit, and you know how this game is officiated actually is going to have some impact on the results of this game as well. I mean, are they going to let the defensive backs hold a little bit, get their hands on receivers and all that, or are they going to, you know, call this tight, which would favor Clemson without a doubt? If they call this game tight in the secondary, I'm not sure Florida State can win this game. But if they let some stuff go in terms of, you know, how the defensive backs can play, Clemson plays physical too, but I think it benefits Florida State. But you know, I think you got to play physical, press, let your guys challenge them on the outside and try to force them to be precise. Because quite frankly, Watson's mechanics this year have not been as sharp as they were last year, and certainly not as sharp as they were as a freshman. I think we're now starting to see a little bit of a drop-off here as a result of the Chad no longer being at Clemson, because the quarterback play has not been quite as good, and it's the same guy. And I think that's the main reason that his accuracy has been less consistent this year, although the amount of pressure that he's dealt with and their inability to run the football and set up some play action has been an issue as well. But he's just not been as accurate even in comparable situations this year. And if he's not as accurate, then Florida State's got a chance. Now, I think Florida State does need to mix man and zone, but I do think that one of the core coverages that they can play in this game, I think they can play a lot of robber. That's where you play a single deep safety, and then you roll another player, usually a safety, down into the middle of the field to basically take away throws over the middle of the field. He reads the quarterback's eyes, and then he becomes a spy when the quarterback starts to run. And I think Florida State can play a lot of that robber or rat type stuff to use that extra speed guy as a spy while also trying to take away some of those throws in the middle of the field or in certain areas of the field where you can rotate that guy to where they like to throw in certain situations. And they did that some last year. It's going to be harder this year because you can't just put Derwin James there. But I think they can do that. And I think the plan can be pretty similar to what they did last year overall. Obviously without Jalen Ramsey, but McFadden is capable of doing a lot of those things in terms of coverage. maybe not as much on the run support side, but in coverage, he can match up. He can make some plays, and he's been catching the football when he's had chances. So, you know, that, again, it's key if Florida State's able to get a turnover here or there. But I think you've got to rely on your corners, White and McFadden in particular, to win the 50-50 balls downfield and not get gashed in the screen game or by Watson's legs. And those Watson's legs are what won the game late for Clemson last year, really. That's what changed the game. Now, my big concern is, aside from, you know, just some busts, my big concern is Clemson's got some slot receivers in Renfro, Scott, and McLeod. Artavis Scott in particular is a big concern that I think against FSU's inside cover guys, if they're able to get those guys matched up against Trey Marshall or Ermin Lane or, you know, whoever's at star, they're going to get some of those matchups, or a linebacker. That those are scary matchups for Florida State, and they're going to have to find ways to make sure that they're able to cover those slots. And that makes the key guys for Florida State's defense really those interior players for the most part. I think McFadden is really critical because I think they're going to end up matching him up a lot with Mike Williams on the boundary. But other than him, I think the key players that have to play well for Florida State are Matthew Thomas, Trey Marshall, Ermin Lane, and Josh Sweat. Those guys have to really play outstanding games if Florida State's going to have a chance to win this game. Because, you know, those guys are the athletes that can really impact what Deshaun Watson's able to do, both as a runner and as a passer. And Clemson's going to put a lot of stress on those guys, on those four guys in particular, Thomas, Marshall, Lane, and Sweat. Those guys in particular on that interior, reading some of that option, quarterback option game, quarterback run game, and also dealing with some of that stuff over the middle of the field. And that's where the real concern is, I think, defensively for Florida State. Now, flipping to the other side of the ball, the Clemson defense is also interesting. I mean, as I mentioned in the first segment there, Clemson has struggled against some physical running games this year. And again, in particular, in their last game against NC State, they gave up 4 yards a carry to NC State, and that's not a great NC State offense. Now, that's a physical NC State offense with a good running back, but it's not a great NC State offense. They gave up 5 yards a carry, 4.96 yards a carry, to Louisville. Now, that granted, that's with Lamar Jackson, who changes the dynamic there pretty significantly, but they gave up some yardage there. Now, the one game this year where they didn't give up a whole lot was against Auburn, but Auburn was... If you watched that game, you saw that Auburn was still really finding itself offensively and really struggled, and I'm not sure how much they would have run on anybody that night. But it's been a little bit surprising to see in different parts of games, against Louisville particularly and against North Carolina State, it's been interesting to watch, as good as Clemson's defensive line is, and they may have the best defensive line in the country, certainly outside of Tuscaloosa. I mean, they've got some big dudes and some guys that can move. I mean,
Wilkins is maybe the second best or best defensive lineman in the country. I mean, Miles Garrett has an argument there. The kid up at Tennessee has an argument there. But Wilkins the guy's special.
He's a guy that can play inside or outside and really caused some problems in the running game and in the passing game. And then you add the guy that I think is the best freshman in the country, and that's Dexter Lawrence, who's a 330-pound load on the inside who walked in the door ready to play, which is so rare. They're a problem defensively. But the thing is, they've struggled against some physical running games despite that. And I think that might be because, again, they're so good up front that they are confident that they can stop the run with those defensive linemen. And they've been protecting what I think is a weaker secondary. And they haven't played anybody outside of Louisville who's been able to challenge that secondary. They've not played a good passing team really this year. I mean, even Louisville is a decent passing team, but they're much more of a running team with Lamar Jackson. And Jackson is a little bit more scattershot as a passer. And, you know, they gave up 26 points and a half to Louisville. And, you know, you look at how they've played this year, they've tried to protect them, their that secondary a good bit more than they have in the past. They you know, last year they didn't need to do that because they had so much talent in that secondary. This year, they're doing more stuff to rely on that defensive front to make sure that they've got a little bit of extra help in that in the back seven, coverage wise. So they've relied on their front to stop the run and get to the passer, and generally they've been able to do that. But Florida State's offensive line, even though it's not been great in pass protection, is probably big and physical enough and good enough in the running game to give them some trouble, similar to what NC State did, and Florida State's better overall across the board than in the running game than NC State is. And as you know, as good as Days is for NC State in the backfield, I think Dalvin Cook is probably a little bit better, as is Jaquez Patrick. So you know, this is a game where if you're Florida State, you want to force Clemson to have to bring more guys against that running game and to play in the phone booth and to pound that team. This is a game where I think Florida State is fine going two tights and just pound that front. And again, it's counterintuitive because of how good and how big Clemson is up front. But I think FSU can do some things in the running game, particularly in the stretch running game. This is where, as big as that front is, I think because of how big they are, FSU might be able to stretch them some and get to the edge a little bit and get some cutbacks because of the size. And if they're able to do that frequently, they may be able to wear that front down a little bit because they're not as deep as they have been in the past. So, and particularly if they're able to use Francois' legs, if they're able to, this is a game where I think you want to use Francois' legs a good bit to force them to have to honor that at least. It's a game where you want to give Jaquez Patrick some carries, particularly in that middle part of the game in the second and third quarters. I think that makes a lot of sense to tire that Clemson front out as much as possible and to pound them. And that, if Florida State is able to stay on schedule and run the football, which is the key on offense as well. Winning first down in this game is the key to the game for Florida State. Finishing drives and winning on first down are the keys to this game, those two keys. But if they're able to stay on schedule, the other thing that they can then do, particularly out of those two tight situations, is challenge that Clemson secondary on play action. And like I said, I've not been super impressed by the Clemson secondary overall on the year. There's been some vulnerabilities. Tankersley is really, really good. But to me, if they're able to stay on schedule, you start getting some opportunities to go play action and get those big tight ends against Clemson's linebackers and safeties on the inside, and Clemson's linebackers, as good as Boulware is, for example, against the run, he's not great in coverage. Both of Florida State's tight ends have an edge against Boulware in coverage. Give Auden Tate some opportunities downfield on play action against DBs not named Cordrea Tankersley. And again, that's an opportunity where Florida State, by pounding the football and then getting some opportunities on play action to take advantage of the linebackers and safeties and coverage with the tight ends, with Auden Tate, and also with Rudolph, who Rudolph had a good game against Clemson last year. They just couldn't, the quarterbacking situation wasn't where he could actually get a whole lot of balls because they weren't getting to him, but he was winning matchups out there. This is a game where, again, just because of how it matches up, I wouldn't be surprised if FSU, with the way that Fisher is going to call this game, is able to keep them a little bit off balance and maybe score a little bit more than might be expected there. And that's where I think there is a path. There's definitely a path to Florida State winning this game. Watch the Auburn and North Carolina State games and you can see the formula. And Florida State's defensive line is in the same tier as that Auburn defensive line, which is a top 5 or 10 defensive line. I'd say probably top 5 defensive line. With Nadi healthy, Florida State's defensive line is in the same tier as that Auburn defensive line. And NC State gave Clemson some trouble up front as well, and they've got a quality defensive line. And I think FSU's defensive line is a little better than theirs. Force Clemson to be one-dimensional. Try to take away then... Force Clemson to be one-dimensional and force them into just shot plays and try to make sure you win enough of those that you're able to get them off the field. And then on the offensive side, pound the run, win first down, and be multidimensional, challenging those defensive backs downfield and the linebackers downfield And beyond that, it's just about finishing drives on both sides of the ball. Now, do I think Florida State wins this game? The more I've looked at it, the more I've thought Florida State has a real chance at winning this game. But no, I'm not going to pick Florida State to win this game. I do think this is going to be a very hard-fought and extremely physical game, very much like the Florida State-Miami game was, which still is probably the most physical game I've seen all year. I think this game may end up more physical than that. And I think it's going to be a very, very hard-fought game. Like I said, I won't be surprised if FSU wins the game, but probability in the end of the day, to me, favors the team that does have the better quarterback. And I think Clemson probably, if you look at the two lines, has a slight edge up front overall. And you take the better quarterback and the better overall matchup in the trenches, even if it's just a slight matchup in the trenches, I think that overcomes the home field situation. I'm ultimately going to go with Clemson winning this game, say 26-23. I'll give Florida State a 45% win probability in this game. If Dalvin Cook's able to bust a play or two, if Florida State's able to create an explosive play here or there, then that score changes. And I think Florida State wins the game. With a turnover here or there, I mean, it's going to take a couple explosive plays. But ultimately, I think, you know, in terms of probability, this is going to favor Clemson. Slightly better team. I think the gap between these two teams is a lot less than the perception. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in Tallahassee on Saturday. I know I'm looking forward to it. I know Florida State, that team is looking forward to it, getting a chance to prove that they weren't as overrated coming into this year as a lot of people now think that they were. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Now, before we get out of here, just another reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can subscribe to this podcast through your podcast manager of choice. Please rate us and give us effusive 5-star ratings on iTunes and pass us along via social media to your friends. Be very helpful. Help expand our reach. Once again, I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of eSporto Channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.